Like I said, the biggest tax cut in the history of our country. And it would be the biggest tax increase if the Democrats are successful. They're the only people I've ever seen running for office where they want to increase taxes. But this would be a 58, maybe a 60% tax increase. Unsustainable for the American people. Right. Thank you very much. Great job.
There you go.
Susie, the most powerful woman in the world.
So we've got POTUS sitting there talking with his cabinet. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear about tax cuts. I don't care what I got to wade through. I want to hear about the tax cuts. That's what I want to hear. Like, what are we going to get? What are we going to get from these Republicans? Because so far, instead of getting those, you know, a tax relief, all we are getting is, you know, some of what Chip Roy talked about yesterday, this car registration. And then I got all these like Bush leaguers out there saying, yeah, we got to start paying women to have the babies. And I'm like, that's welfare. Oh, we love welfare. I mean, that's like, the Bush League Republicans, they love them some welfare. You can't drag them hard enough. Welcome back to the program. We're at the top of a new day, top of the first hour here on Wednesday. As my granny would say, it is raining and a storming in Texas. So I'm just going to give you guys a heads up. Because sometimes it'll rain and then all Hades breaks loose and the power may go out. Like the other day, the power went out right when we started. And so it took us a little bit to get the visual up. You know, we got a small crew and it's been raining and pouring. My poor dog Wick is terrified. He's terrified of the rain, terrified of it. So I don't know. So if by some chance you're watching and then all of a sudden all the lights go out, it's because we lost power and our generator kicked in and it took us months to get fixed. That's a whole other situation. But anyway, so just FYI, because there's like, it's like 50-50 chance. It's Texas. You know, things get crazy real quick. So I just wanted to let you guys know because it has happened before. So welcome to the program. Top of this very, very first hour. And POTUS is having his cabinet meeting. The gang's all there. Now, absent is Musk. Now, that's kind of by plan. I don't want people to think, because a lot of you have asked me this. Everything that I've read, and what he said publicly is that they, you know, he was always going to pull back going into May, right? May 1st is what it was. I thought he was going to start pulling back. He had his people in place and he was going to start pulling back. I think he's also pushing more effort back into his physical effort. He's more back at Tesla, SpaceX, etc. So, but he's got his people still there. I think they're in the Eisenhower administrative building in DC, and so he's got people there. They're still carrying on with Doge work, and he's checking in, and he's talking to POTUS, and he's still there when needs be. But it was never going to be where Elon Musk was going to be a constant fixture. So just, you know, don't let the left try to go, oh, look, there's evidence that Trump and Musk don't like each other. That's not even accurate at all. So this is, we got them got the cabinet meeting. They're briefing the president on everything that's been, that they've accomplished in the first 100 days. And now we need to do the big thing, and we need to make sure that we get a budget done. We need to make sure that we have permanent tax cuts. Otherwise, everybody's going to have a tax hike. I was talking to one of our friends, Vegas Larry. He just had to pay. I don't even want to say the amount of taxes he just had to pay. I almost vomited. I'm like, it just was a gut punch. And especially considering everything that happened with U.S. aid. So people want tax relief. And we talked about that yesterday and how that ties into the polling, etc. So this, just saying, we're in for a fight from everything that I've heard from congressional Republicans. Let's talk about last night. He had a rally in Michigan. And he called Big Gretch on stage. Audio soundbite 5. She didn't want to come up on stage. She didn't have a folder in her hand. He called Big Gretch because he's in Michigan. And I think I want to be real careful with us. For a one large purpose, but I think two things to consider. First, I think he's being magnanimous and he's saying, look, we can get along. Look how reasonable I am. I'm bringing her up on stage. And it infuriates Democrats. It infuriates the right Democrats because Big Gretch, as you know, has 2028 aspirations. Now, if her base thinks that she's liked by Trump, they're going to hate her, right? And moderate Dems will ratchet up attacks on her because they're going to be looking at her as trying to kickstart 2028 a little too early. That being said, you don't want to praise your ideological opponent even when you agree too terribly much because you risk elevating them over your own lasting legacy going into 2028. So very careful give and take here with all of this. But let's play this. This is audio. This is up here. Audio soundbite. I just had it in my five. Yeah, that's right. Big Gretch. Audio soundbite five. Listen.
Well, I hadn't planned to speak, but I'm on behalf of all the military men and women who serve our country and serve so honorably on behalf of the state of Michigan.
It's not a Walls hat, is it?
Really damn happy we're here to celebrate this recapitalization at Selfridge. It's crucial for the Michigan economy. It's crucial for the men and women here, for our homeland security and our future. So thank you. I'm so grateful that this announcement was made today. And I appreciate all the work. Thank you.
Okay, so she was nice. You know, I thought she'd like run away. You know, oh no. What are you laughing about?
It's like she almost said, I'm grateful for Trump. Oh, I mean, I'm grateful for this announcement today.
Yes, I'm very so grateful for, oh, this yeah. announcement. I'm so happy about that. Yeah. So that's that was very funny because he called her up on stage last night. His speech last night was funny. He was talking about somebody's figure, a man's figure. I don't know who he was talking about, but it was funny. I watched some of it, but okay. So the other big thing that happened, like right as he was taken to the stage. So did you hear what happened with Doug Emhoff? They're calling it Kamala Harris's last big embarrassment. So he was fired. He got fired by the Trump administration from the Holocaust Memorial Council, which oversees the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. And I mean, typically members of the council, they're appointed by the president and they serve about 5-year terms. And so, as you know, Doug Emhoff is Mr. Kamala Harris and he was appointed by Biden and Trump removed him and several other Biden appointees, according to The Hill. And this was late yesterday when this emerged, when this news emerged. So it was late yesterday. He was kicked off, Biden appointees removed from the Holocaust board, and he was livid. Now, I understand kind of the thinking on it, because here you have an increase in targeting of Jewish students on college campuses around the country, not just Jewish students, but under Biden Harris's disastrous reign. Let's not forget that you had the snitch squad that was peeking into temples to see, oh boy, there better not be any Jews in there, you know, practicing their faith because everybody's supposed to be social distancing and locking down. You guys remember that? That was crazy to make sure that they were following COVID mandates. They were in New York. They were literally walking and peeking into temple windows. There's video of, like, I just called them the snitch squad because did we ever figure out who the hell they were? Weren't they with, like, the health board or something? Or it was, like, police and then health whatever. Like, the people who go and are like, do you wash your hands when you're making this burger at restaurants? Like, the health squad. I don't care. You don't need to tell me. Nobody needs to tweet me or email me. But the whole point in this is that he, Emhoff, was removed. He's livid over this. And he... apparently, he's been criticized before because I don't get into arguments of doctrine of faiths that I do not practice, but he was criticized by other Jewish leaders because they said he had, and this was back in 23, he had botched the Hanukkah story on social media. That's kind of a big one, you know. By the way, right as I just said that, you guys may not have heard this, but the thunder rang out in the sky. It was, ooh, right? Dun, dun, dun. He apparently got the Hanukkah story wrong. This is back in 2023. He posted an image of himself and Harris lighting a menorah. And then he had his version of the events. And apparently, again, I'm not going to be the gatekeeper for a faith I don't practice, but he, I remember this, it trended. He was dragged because they accused him of getting it wrong and only focusing on Jews hiding in some oil. And everyone's like, yeah, that no, that's not, there's a lot more. What is the matter with you? He was, people were saying, including, I think this was a contributor over at CNN, I really hope that he left this to some hapless and uneducated intern who couldn't even be bothered to consult Wikipedia. 8 days of hiding, yikes, man. Ooh, yeah, because that's pretty much all, it was pretty, he ended up like deleting stuff. It was a big ordeal. So, but this, it was bad. So he's removed. So he's removed from this. And he, so this is what he tweets. Let me pull this up. Oh, he had a big O statement. I know we got to get moving. Okay, let me share. Let me do headlines. And then we're going to come back because I'm going to touch on this. Then we have another more updates on the budget battle. I will always carry a firearm and I have no problem using lethal force. I live in Texas and I don't really like to go to gun-free zones. Unfortunately, I have some friends who unfortunately live in gun-free areas because they have to. They're big kids and they got to go to work, right? One of my friends lives in D.C. and they went and got that very difficult to get license to carry. But even then, they can't carry hardly anywhere because you got all of these municipal restrictions. And then on top of it, you'll have private party or private property restrictions that ban the people from taking a firearm to protect themselves. And so my friend, by the nature of their work, and yes, they do work with the press, you know, they're up pretty late at night filing stories. And at 11 o'clock, you know, going back to their car, they don't want to become a statistic. So they went and got a Byrna SD. Now, Byrna makes different models. The SD, I think, for this purpose is the one that I highly recommend. Because if you're barred from carrying, you want to make sure that you diversify your weapons array. I mean, for crying out loud, you carry blades and you have different calibers. Why not something like this? It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And like I said, there's different models. There's different projectiles. The SD is the most popular one. And for good reason, it's, you know, pistol and you can carry it. I mean, it's carry it on your person. It's there's no recoil. It's easy target acquisition. You have 5 rounds. As opposed to like 1 or 2 with a like a regular stun gun. So quick deployment, and it's legal in all 50 states. Here's the thing. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. There's no background check. There's no waiting period. It can be shipped right to your front porch. So visit Byrna.com/Dana because that's the only place you can go to get 10% off. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. All right, so I have to apologize to you guys. I ran so long last segment that I am robbing you of Quick Five this segment. It won't happen again. I really apologize. I'm going to make it up to you coming up. Bear with me. Hang out. We're going to be back in 2 and 2. 2 and 2. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He wasn't a member of a gang. And then they looked, and right. On his knuckles, he had MS-13. Right.
There's a dispute.
Well, wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Hey, Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was photoshopped.
That was photoshopped. Terry, you can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay.
Oh!
I picked you, Terry. But you're not being very nice. He had MS-13 tattooed.
We'll agree to disagree. I want to move on to something else.
Terry.
Punch him.
Do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture. Here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS-13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them. I want to turn to you, Crane.
No, he had MS as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why no longer believe the news, because it's fake news.
When he was photographed in El Salvador, they aren't there. But let's just go. They aren't there when he's in El Salvador.
They weren't there, but they're there now, right?
No, but they're in your picture.
Terry.
Ukraine, sir.
He's got MS-13 on his knuckles.
All right.
Ukraine, sir, but Terry.
We'll take a look.
You do such a disservice.
We'll take a look at that, sir.
Why don't you just say, yes, he does, and, you know, go on to something else.
It's contested.
So this is one of my favorite exchanges. I wish that Terry had MS-13 on his knuckles. I mean, come on, Terry, he had MS-13. That's a viral video reference. It's probably too much. Oh, welcome back. We got a lot of audio today. So that's I told you I was gonna make it up for you by robbing you guys a quick five. That was my bad, because I wouldn't shut up. That's my problem. Who knew? So everyone was saying that Trump was, who is Terry Moran with? Is he with ABC? Okay. So everyone was saying that MS-13 was added to the photo because the symbols that he has on his knuckles, and it was marijuana. What was the other one? It was like the X smiley face across in a skull. That is like basically the emojis that mean MS-13, right?
Yeah.
Like how the eggplant means something, and, you know, the peach means something, and, you know, different emojis mean things. Okay, so they're not really emojis, but those symbols mean MS-13. And so when they had the photo, apparently the photo was, okay, this means M and this means S. This is what it stands for. And they're explaining what the tattoos symbolize. And so let me break this down, because I'm not letting this go either. And I love that he stopped and he's like, all right, Terry, there's Trump with it right there. So the MS-13 that's on it, those symbols are literally like those symbols mean MS-13. That's what they mean. That each of the images stand for something that translates to MS-13. And so Terry Moran was trying to argue, I guess, that he didn't have any kind of identifier tattooed on him. And Trump's like, no. If the media wants to sit here and pick nits about, oh, well, it didn't specifically say, you know, it's still the same thing. You know, just like those numbnuts saying Maryland dad. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that Maryland man. Oh, yes. You mean the gangbanging wife beater. Yes, that one. He's an El Salvadoran man, but okay. See what I mean? Like, if you guys can sit here, if the media can sit here and try to BS us about this, oh, this poor gangbanging wife beating Maryland man, then yeah, we're going to go ahead and say might as well had like literally the actual Arabic MS-13 on it. Shut up. So stupid. Just absolutely asinine. So I'm glad that he stopped there. I mean, the left was trying to make a big deal of this. Can you saw this? They were trying to make a big deal of this all last night. Oh my gosh. Can you believe Trump said that? He just didn't get this right. But it's not wrong. Right? That's so goofy. It's like saying, well, those moving snakes on the Harry Potter figures, they're not really indicative of Death Eaters. They are, because none of the nobody else has them unless they're Death Eaters. See, same thing. I did that. I went to a Harry Potter reference. Just saying.
Moving Snake 13.
Yeah.
Ooh. MS-13.
Yeah. So these are like runes that mean MS-13. That's what it is. I thought the interview was funny. It was a very contentious interview, and I thought it was stupid that Terry Moran was even trying to like contest that. And then he realized the futility of it. And he's like, oh, maybe I should move on. Yeah, Terry, maybe you ought to move on, Terry. I mean, it's just so stupid. Audio Soundbite 13. And this is where Trump argues with him, because remember, the media pretended, gosh, we didn't even know that Biden was half dead. We had no clue. Listen to this.
Do you think the reputation of the United States has gone down under your presidency?
I think it's gone way up, and I think we're a respected country again. We were laughed at all over the world. We had a president that couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, couldn't walk down a flight of stairs, couldn't walk across a stage without falling. We had a president that was grossly incompetent. You knew it, I knew it, and everybody knew it, but you guys didn't want to write it because you're fake news.
All right. Thank you.
And by the way, ABC is one of the worst. I have to be honest with you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, you guys didn't want to write about it because you're fake news. I mean, Biden falls up the stairs. I told you this yesterday. How? Oh my gosh, Biden stuttered with his feet. Yes. Never seen anybody do that. Man, that man stuttered all the way the hell up them stairs with his feet. I've never seen anybody do that before. But they did. That's how all of them were. And I'm glad that POTUS called it out, because the media has been going on like, oh, we just didn't know. We were just this little innocent media. We were tricked. Just like the rest of you. What do you mean? What? You all knew. You all knew the man really didn't have a pulse. You all knew he was just a skin suit and Jill Biden had her hand up his backside. Come on. It's like a sock puppet. Is that too mean? Because I just don't even care. I'm just so done with this stuff. These people try to pull so much wool over our eyes. I just feel like all civility is out the window at this point. Right? Good heavens. I mean, it was a very good interview. But This is audio soundbite 14. They were arguing over Putin. Listen.
He's willing to stop the fighting.
You think Vladimir Putin wants peace?
I think he does, yes. I think
still,
he does. I think
even with the raining missiles.
I think he really his dream was to take over the whole country. Mm. I think because of me, he's not gonna do that.
Do you trust him?
I think.
Do you trust him?
I don't trust you. I don't trust a lot of people. I don't trust you. Look at you. You come in all shooting for bear. You're so happy to do the interview.
I am
And
happy.
Then you start hitting me with fake questions. You start telling me that a guy whose hand is covered with a tattoo doesn't have the tattoo.
I mean. In so many ways, Trump is like an old nana, yeah. You know? Like, oh, no, but, you know, I'm going to come back to this because I'm not over it. And like 10 years later. Yeah. Remember that time? The knuckles? Mm-hmm, I remember that. Like, it's never going to go away. Oh, but good. Oh, then there was the eggs. Audio my 15.
But gasoline is way down. When I took over, you remember the big thing with eggs. They hit me the first week. Eggs, like it was my fault. I said, I didn't cause this problem. This problem was caused by Biden. What's the problem with eggs? And they said, they've doubled. And well, eggs are down 87% since I got involved.
I love it. Do you know one of the things, kind of a sidebar, an accompaniment to this? One of the reasons that Trump can get, there's two reasons that Trump can get away with roughhousing journalists that other politicians can't. Because he's very much a showman. And I think that was on stage. I think that was evident on stage last night. He really loves his audience and his audience loves him. But older people, I am jealous of you because you guys get to do whatever you want. And this is why Kane doesn't like you. So he doesn't, he thinks you're not innocent.
You're lying.
It's because of this, because he's you know, you give him a pass, he's like, oh, he's like a grandpa, or oh, they're like a nana's age, right? Like they're, you give him a pass, right? It's just funny. And I feel like Terry Moran actually liked him. Did you see his expression in this interview? Right. I mean, he wasn't smiling like he was being a wise eight double snakes. I think he liked him.
He was thankful to be insulted.
Yeah, he was just happy to be there, man. However you want to kick him. I mean, Terry, he's just happy for that big break, man.
He's like, you guys are fake news. He's like, thank you.
He's like, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
By the way, ABC is the worst. He's like, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We are. Thank you, Mr. President. So okay, here's another one where it got a little testy. Audio soundbite 11. They were arguing over fraud referrals from Doge.
A legal note, fraud is a crime. There have been no referrals to the Justice Department on any of
this. Well, you don't know that, do you? How do you know that?
Have there been referrals to the... Are there criminal referrals?
How would you know that there were no referrals? I think there were referrals.
They generally... All right, there's been no investigation from the Justice Department.
How do you know that?
I'm asking you, sir.
No, you're not asking me. You made a statement. You're not asking
me. Now I'm asking you.
That was a statement that you made. There had been.
I'm asking you.
Have there been? Yes, there have.
Well, I mean, he did. He was like, okay, well, now I'm asking you. Okay, so you did make a statement. And then you're, okay, that's exactly, you just proved his point. Terry, what are you doing? What are you doing, Terry? My gosh. This is full. This is so, so crazy. I mean, is this just one of the craziest interviews? Because he just sat there. And I really feel like he likes being kicked, man. He likes being kicked around. We got more of this. I also want to, because I told you I was going to follow up on this after headlines. So Trump had fired Doug Emhoff, the second gentleman. I don't know. That dude, Kamala's husband. Kamala was his second or third wife. I can't remember. Anyway, and he got fired from the Holocaust Council that governs the Holocaust Museum. Oh, man, he was raging on the social media. He said, this is what he wrote. Here's his point, or his post, quote, "Today I was informed of my removal from the United States Holocaust Memorial Council. Let me be clear." Shh, by the way, that is always a statement that that a jack wagon's about to wagon jacks. That's what that means. He goes, "Let me be clear. Holocaust remembrance and education should never be politicized. To turn one of the worst atrocities, blah, 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 wedge issue, dishonors, blah, 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 Emhoff." So you did make it political, though. Like, you made it political when you refused to condemn the targeting of Jewish students in college campuses all around the nation. You made it political when you refused to speak up for the Americans and Jewish citizens that were kidnapped by Hamas in a terror atrocity. I mean, where was the these people get their panties in a wad more over Trump than they do over actual terrorists. So, yeah. And you know what? It's the president's discretion. It is up to his pleasure whether or not you are on a council or not. And I don't want this guy on the council. I'd rather have somebody, you know, that has a little bit of self-respect and doesn't slap women in a valet line. And I'm just saying, because, you know, remember, he did that. Can I just sidebar one more time? I am fascinated by that whole dynamic because I'm sorry. I got a question I want to ask you on break because it's about his psyche. He just seems so beta. Okay, let me do this. Let me cover my mouth. He seems like a, I don't know how.
Straight? That's a weird way to put it.
Should I say it public? Okay, I said he seems like a straight bottom. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
He just, and then you like, you shake a lady around in a valet line, you slap her in a valet line. Like, what kind of woman is with a weak man like that? Get slapped on it, and then he wants to be on a... he should have been kicked off that council the moment that story came out. But, you know, what if? You know, we got... He was appointed by Biden to serve on that council because he married Kamala a couple of years ago. That's why. Oh, I said what I said. Uh-huh. All right, we got more on the way. We got Days of These United States. If you work long hours and struggle to wind down at night, you're not alone. Tossing and turning and waking up exhausted doesn't have to be the norm. Beam Dream Powder helps you fall asleep faster, sleep soundly through the night, and wake up feeling refreshed. Beam Dream Powder is a clean, healthy nighttime blend made with ingredients backed by science. Reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. Apigenin helps calm your body and your mind for rest. L-theanine supports a smooth transition into deep sleep. And Reishi and melatonin work to improve REM sleep quality. Beam is proudly American-made and run by people who value hard work, integrity, and results. Supporting companies like this matters because they're doing things the right way. You'll love how Dream tastes, and it's easy to make and actually effective. Over 17.5 million nights of sleep have been improved with Beam, and yours could be next. Try it for yourself. Visit shopbeam.com/Dana Show and use code Dana Show for 40% off of your first order. That's shopbeam.com/Dana Show, code Dana Show for better sleep.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
If you're a fascist, get a Tesla. It's electric. It doesn't matter.
Just hit the same ones, go to another chord. Just do the sloppy strum and go to another chord. So Neil Young is changing the lyrics of one of his songs, and he's saying, you know, if you're a fascist, get a Tesla, etc. Now, I'm like, should I criticize him? Because the last time I did, Billboard and Pitchfork and Daily Beast and Newsweek went all in, and we had a big fight because I said that his voice had the vocal tonality of a dying cow fart, and it does. And I'm not wrong.
It's science.
Now, my stepdad likes Neil Young, so don't be judging me. So, yeah, this is like one example of what happened. Like, that was in 2018. It went crazy. And, yeah, he was doing this Land Is Your Lane, ruining it.
Look at the picture of you they put in there.
I was speaking at CPAC, and I love that jacket and shirt, by the way, and they got mad at me saying I look like a pirate. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you. I love that outfit, and I still have that exact same outfit because I keep my stuff for forever. And yeah, Neil Young was asked about it at, I guess he was at South by Southwest, and he was like, why doesn't she just shoot me? I'm like, just good grief. But my favorite was the subhead. She's repeatedly compared his voice to a dying cow fart. I did it one time, but now I'm going to do it like a million times. But he goes, I'm glad I got under her skin. And then they told him, they go, well, she said that you sounded like a dying cow fart. And he goes, well, why doesn't she just shoot me? And he's like, I really don't want anybody to shoot me. Don't take it seriously. Oh, shut up. But why are you a fascist if you buy a Tesla? That's so stupid. I thought he was supposed to be smart. But then I saw him play guitar. I'm sorry if you love Neil Young. What I just played for you there. I'm just going to play the same 5-cent chords. Down, strumming, down, blah, blah. I mean, I can do that. Why are you laughing? It's true. Why is it if you buy a Tesla, you're a fascist? If you say that you're a fascist because you have a Tesla, you're short of some brain cells.
Like, it was only a year ago where it was, you're a climate terrorist if you don't own a Tesla.
Like, make up your all's mind. Doesn't make any sense. We have a lot more on the way. Coming up, we've got, I got more audio. Trump spoke last night. Also, GOP, we got to talk about a couple things. And the Democrat rep who filed the impeachment articles, that guy who I thought was going to be asking me for my credit card number, he got in trouble for animal abuse. Big time trouble. So we're going to totally talk about all of that. So you don't want to miss it. We got a lot coming up. Second hour on the way. Stick with us. All Family Pharmacy. This is one of my favorite people to work with. And not just because I'm actually a customer. It's like that hair club for men thing. Not only am I'm also the president. Well, I'm not the president, but I love what they do because medicines that you need, and especially those therapeutics that the government tried to prevent you from getting during lockdown, well, they have all of it. They've got the ivermectin. They got the hydroxychloroquine. They have all of the antibiotics. They also have your everyday medications. And they're affordable. It's simple and it's fast. If you don't have insurance, not an issue because they have very straightforward, affordable pricing. Online ordering, shipping is just 2 to 4 days. You can also do overnight in a pinch, which I have done before because, oh my gosh, I was getting strep throat over Thanksgiving, thought I was going to die. And I'm like, I couldn't get to urgent care. There was a line. Like, I got to get some. They got it to me overnight. And I was immediately able to start getting better and still host Thanksgiving. It was amazing. And not infect everybody. It was so nice. The other thing that I love is everything is made in the U.S. You can't say that with other medications or the inputs from other medications, but you can say that with All Family Pharmacy. None of the stuff comes from either China nor India. It's all manufactured all from right here in the US of A. So they have very high standards of quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Get 10% off with promo code Dana. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today with allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
He did so great. What's the problem over there? What's the problem? Is that a radical left lunatic? He's just a child. All right, get him out. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am. I thought it was a guy. Thank you. And she now has to go home to a mother who's a big Trump fan. Her mother's watching. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said he, and it's a she. I'm sorry.
Now I really want to see what this person looks like. I really want to know. Like, let us also know, sir. Welcome back. It's a she. It's ma'am. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. POTUS was marking his first 100 days with a big Michigan rally. Now he's in the cabinet meeting. I didn't see Elon Musk there earlier, but he is there. We're going to play some audio here in a minute, but welcome back. You can listen all across the country. Channel 347, DirecTV is the stream, the chats at Rumble, X, and YouTube and Facebook also. Okay, they're at the cabinet meeting and they got these hats. They all get these hats that say Gulf of America. Now, my question is, there's red hats and blue hats, like navy hats, navy blue. Do they get both hats? Or did they just stagger them, the colors like that one, you know, red, blue, to, you know, look nice? Or do they each get a hat? Now, Elon Musk is wearing both of them.
He's stacked them.
He's stacked the hats. He's got a hat stack. I sound like Christopher Walken. He's got a hat stack, Kane. And he was asked about that. POTUS was asking him at this cabinet meeting that they're at. So he's there. You know, all the media is going to be like the most upset with the fact that he's there. So this is him. He's got two hats, and Trump asks him about it. Watch.
Jim, Kevin, thank you very much. Elon, I love the double hat, but
yeah.
He's the only one that can do that. He's get away with it.
Well, Mr. President, you know, they say I wear a lot of hats. That's true. Even my hat has a hat.
Those are like big hats too. Like the big, they used to not, those, that style of hat used to not be popular. Now it is. Now everybody's wearing that style of hat. So he's there at the cabinet meeting. Hopefully I know that they've been talking about, Department of the Interior has been speaking about, fossil fuels, and they've talked about deportation, and Trump has been talking about tax relief, which we're going to talk about some rhino stuff here coming up. Additionally, can we talk about this Democrat rep? So I tweeted about this morning. I think it was this morning. Yeah, it was this morning. Let me pull up my tweet. I mentioned this morning. I retweeted Chip Roy, who was on the show yesterday. And it was actually a response to something that he had said about the budget that they're having. Increase in Medicaid funding. House budget is instructing committees to increase Medicaid funding by 25% and increasing the debt to over $50 trillion. And I made the point, like we talked about yesterday, you know, if House Republicans are not going to cut spending, we're not going to get permanent tax cuts. And without tax cuts, voters are going to feel the pinch harder, and they're going to rebel at midterms. And that's going to jeopardize the very razor-thin majority that we have in the House. And then you're going to have the rest of POTUS's, the final part of his term, plagued with what this Fruit Loop is doing. So let's go to this Fruit Loop. So this dude, I don't even know who the hell this dude is. And I'm trying to figure out. I'm questioning how he's serving in Congress. His name is Sheri Thanadar of Michigan. And he's announced that he's filed 7 articles of impeachment against POTUS because he's mad that he deported that Maryland dad, you know, and he made DOGE cuts and all this stuff. What gets me is he made DOGE cuts without congressional approval. You stupid, illiterate moron. It's an audit, and then they present those findings to DOGE. Is English his second language? Because I feel like, I don't care if it's mean to say, if you're going to make accusations like this based on such a high level of stupidity, I get to ask if English is your second language. And if it is, this guy, I feel like he just doesn't understand how this works. DOGE is not making cuts. They're presenting their findings to Congress, and Congress makes cuts. And so he literally filed an article of impeachment based on his lack of understanding of that process, which is why I'm asking. I mean, because he's from India. And it's fine if you're from India, but I mean, he just seems like he's fresh off the boat. Sorry, I'm just going to say it. Like, he doesn't know what the hell's happening here. Can I be honest, Kane? Does that mean?
Yeah, you're honest, all right.
And so this guy barely speaks English. And he's filing 7 articles of impeachment. And some people, by the way, I've noticed that they're mostly conservative Hispanics that are saying this. One of my friends who said, yeah, we need to ban foreign-born people from serving in Congress. Now, this is someone whose dad's from Mexico. Just saying. I just feel like this guy doesn't have an understanding of the what DOGE is doing or this process. That's why a lot of people are going, wait, what? Anyway, he filed these articles of impeachment. And I mean, this is him right here. Audio Sunbite 23. This is what he was talking about.
This is Congressman Shri Thanedar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. The court said the wrongfully deported Kilmer Garcia must be allowed to return and receive due process. Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution.
This guy's 70 years old.
He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact.
He's 70.
This isn't an isolated incident. It's part of a dangerous, deliberate pattern. That's why.
Okay, I gotta stop. Full stop. Dude, he's 70 years old.
There's no way he's 70.
When he came to the U.S., I was like a baby. He's 70 years old. And he lived in St. Louis in the 80s for a while, Kane. He was at Petrolite in St. Louis for a while, apparently. I'm saying all of this because...
He is 70.
Yeah, he's 70 years old. He's a vampire. This is... No, he's not from India. He's a damn vampire. Okay, is that his hair?
That was my next question. Is that his real hair?
I don't care about anything else right now except this question. Hold up. I don't care. We're going to look. I don't know. Like, nothing about his... And his biography talks about that. I just need to know. Hold on. You're going to everybody bear with me. Because that he's 70 years old. I don't believe him. Did he also get eyebrow implants along with the hair plugs? I'm curious.
That is a...
Everyone is asking, is it a wig? Some say it's a wig. I don't know if it's a wig or not. Maybe it is. I don't know. I've just got a million questions. Let's see this. There's a couple of threads and a couple of pieces that say it is. He hasn't said publicly, but I'm sorry. I think he's 71. You're 71 years old. You're doing something. You're using a serum on the eyebrows and you got plugs, or that's a wig. That's something. My grandfather, who had a thick head of hair, wouldn't even like that. And his got like ashy black as he got older. My grandpa had black hair, so his got ashy black as he got older. So I am just stunned by this. It is stunning. Now, he first ran for governor of Michigan in 2018. Now, here's where we get going. Oh, boy. So it was fun to talk about his wig and the fact that he's a vampire. But
is it a wig?
I'm just thinking it is.
Okay.
I'll let the chat weigh in. And the chat can determine whether or not they think it's a wig or not. I say wig, because there is no way. No way. I have friends from India, and I know their parents, and their hair is not even like that. Like that, like consistently all over dark. He didn't even have a gray highlight. I don't believe you are a vampire or a liar, and that's a wig. I don't know. Anyway, so my whole point in bringing this up is he has some scandals, as it were. He's a business owner, and now there's allegations of animal abuse. He had, he owned and operated a bankrupt animal testing lab. And in 2018, the Huffington Post, you know, that beacon of conservatism, the Huffington Post, reported that there were approximately 170 dogs and monkeys that had to be rescued in 2010 from one of his pharmaceutical testing labs. And they had to shutter the facility, AniClin Preclinical Services. They went bankrupt in 2010. He abandoned them in the facility. They shut the door and left them, the animals, to die. They left the animals to die in cages alone without food and water. I'll say it again. This guy who's talking about impeaching POTUS, this... Shri Thanedar, born in India, from Michigan. He had approximately 170 dogs and monkeys in his pharmaceutical testing lab. And when he went bankrupt, they left the animals in the cages, shut the door, and left. these animals, there were some lab workers that were jumping the bankrupt lab's fences to bring food and water to the animals. There's video that I can't even watch because I will fly to Michigan and personally kick his ass. That they had, the Times Herald said that some of these dogs had never been outside. They were only subjected to, and I actually don't like animal testing. I think that tests on people on death row, because everybody knows what the consequences are if you commit capital offenses. Okay, well, you know, let's save testing on animals. Let's test on rapists and pedophiles. I think we should actually, no, don't use animals for testing. Test on rapists and pedophiles. But these animals, they, like some of them never had their paws on the grass. They were terrified to be in the sun. They were terrified to be outside. They had a California-based group called In Defense of Animals that went through, and they were saving these animals. And there's a lot of video. There's a lot of video of it, of these animals being rescued. It's horrific. Absolutely horrific. And this was Huffington Post, a liberal entity, wrote about this. And they did horrible tests on these animals. And I mean, it breaks your heart. I think he should be deported on that alone, personally. See, I'm telling you, I know we got to get moving, but that's the guy who now wants to impeach POTUS. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a 3-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. With their pain-free trial, you can get a 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
According to the Financial Times, Kane, the Danes are boycotting the Coca-Cola. Oh, the local brand is soaring 13-fold in March. It's because, you know, the tariffs. According to Coca-Cola Carlsberg that bottles the U.S. brand in the country, they're saying that Danish shoppers are protesting against the Donald Trump's foreign policy. They're saying that the Coca-Cola volumes are slightly down. It's just fun to do that accent. They said that, yes, the Danes are mad. Remember, they remember the Danish body soldiers coming home and they feel disrespected. And so now you can see why the boycott is so popular, Kane.
Just for the record, I don't believe a word of this story. None of it.
I don't either, but I don't know. I mean, they're saying brand nationalism. Didn't they make, wait, remember when people made fun of the U.S. like in the early aughts for freedom fries? I don't want to hear a single thing. Great summer sale, yoo-hoo. All right, we also have, okay, type 5 diabetes. What is that?
Because I haven't heard of 3 or 4 yet.
Yeah, what is that? They said that International Diabetes Federation is officially recognizing a disease that's not linked to obesity but malnutrition as type 5 diabetes. Wouldn't that just be malnutrition?
Yeah.
So, why is it type 5? What am I missing? I don't understand. I don't know.
Just not thinking deep enough.
So we can make more pills for it, Dana. That's why. Yeah. Got to make more pills and injections. It's just weird. I've never heard of any. I don't know. Can we talk about the rats? The ritzy rats of New York City? It's like that Desperate Housewives, but ritzy rats. They're saying ritzy rats are like destroying people's homes, chewing up cars, trash bins, and playgrounds. Valley of the Rats on the Upper West Side. Residents are afraid to venture out at night. Woo! It sounds like a horror movie needs to be written. Stick with us. As we move, our partners that will bring you the program, it's our friends over at Super Beats, the Super Barine, which is a great product if you're all about, if you're paying attention to your metabolism and controlling your sugar levels as well. And Super Barine will change the way you think about it. You're going to feel balanced and energized. It's plant-based, doctor-formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extracts. So you have an additional antioxidant element and cardiovascular support. The unique berberine is clinically studied to deliver nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. You get all these benefits in one highly concentrated, easy-to-swallow capsule that you can take once daily, and it includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. Visit Sam's Club to restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with the new Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. And don't forget, Super Barine is $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. Snag this offer at Sam's Club while it lasts. Start today. Get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Great. Jeff Bezos was very nice. He was terrific. He solved the problem very quickly, and he did the right thing, and he's a good guy.
So, good. I mean, they pretty much, I guess that's like all said and done at this point. The whole Amazon thing, and we talked about that yesterday. It was for Amazon Hall, which we didn't even know existed. And so they were denying that it was ever going to be Amazon-wide, all Amazon. And apparently, POTUS was mad. If you get my Wednesday, if you get my radio prep email, that's, I had that in there. Like, he apparently was mad. He called Bezos after learning about it. And now Amazon says the tariff cost for displays was never considered for the main site. They said nothing has been implemented, and they ruled out displaying it. So apparently that's done. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you. I got a couple of other things to get to. We're going to talk about some cultural stuff, but can we talk about red state rhino hunting? We need to discuss what's happening in Texas right now. There it is. Now it's official. All right. So did you guys hear about the meme bill? This is one of the goofiest things. This isn't the first time. So let me just set this up. This isn't the first time that I've seen or that lawmakers have tried to, I guess, regulate memes. That's the word that I want. This is not the first time that they've tried to regulate memes. They've tried to do this, remember, federally before. Isn't that, Kane, when they had the, who's that annoying theater kid? That, the Ministry of whatever.
Ministry of Truth.
Yeah. And they were going to have they were going to try to regulate memes or something like that. And they kept saying, oh, it's for AI purposes. You know, we're trying to protect you for AI. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. So no, that's not. Mm-mm. So what happened is the Texas House, they passed a bill. It took 30 seconds with no debate. And it is a bill that actually inadvertently would criminalize political memes. Texas Scorecard writes that courts have routinely struck down these laws that try to regulate political discourse, right? Because First Amendment has pretty strong protections. It's House Bill 366. And it would make it a crime to distribute altered media, including political memes, without a government-approved disclaimer. And people who violate this could face up to a year in jail. Anyone who tries to enforce this on me in Texas, we are going to have a Waco-style knockdown dragout in Southlake. So I'm done with this stuff. Oh, I'm not joking. I'm not being hyperbolic. Like, you want to push people who are good people to the point where they become criminals for criticizing bad lawmakers? If you want a civil war, that's how you start civil wars. I'm not saying this lightly. I am so sick of these people. So, the drunk schmuck who's the House Speaker. And by the way, Dade Phelan, this is his bill. We've invited him on this show and he won't come on the show. Right, Kane? We've invited him on the show. He won't come.
Yeah, back when the Texas AG was under impeachment, and it was largely led by his drunken antics, yeah, then, he wouldn't come on, wouldn't respond.
Right. So they had the State Affairs Committee. They're taking up this bill, and it's by the former Speaker of the House. And they took it up, and it was alongside a couple of other pieces of legislation. It specifically targets political advertising that, quote, features image, audio recording, or video recording of an office holder or candidate's appearance, speech, or conduct that did not occur in reality. The broad language is what's dangerous. So it would allow the Texas Ethics Commission, they have the authority to determine the specific format, the font, the size of the font, and the color of the required disclaimer. Yeah. It is one of the stupidest bills, and the fact that the Texas House has taken this up, the most powerful committee has taken this up, I mean, it's unconstitutional. So remember the drunk Dade stuff? So Dade Phelan, when he was Speaker of the House, there was a lot of video of him out there slurring when he was trying to, you know, preside over the House, and everybody made fun of him, and they called him drunk Dade Phelan. And apparently it made him mad. And I've criticized him, which for some of these lawmakers, that's enough. If you criticize them, people like Dade Phelan, they sit here and act like, oh, it's so bad for Trump defenders to defend Trump, even if there's rightful criticism of him. But Dade Phelan does the same damn thing. You can't criticize him for anything, or you are, you know, persona non grata. So even when I was polite, we invited him on the show. They wouldn't have anything to do with us. We're the biggest talk show in Texas. And we're also literally in hundreds of markets across the nation. We are the number one broadcast in the nation in the afternoon. No one touches us. And we own this time slot. And he won't have anything to do with this because I've been critical. So I'm done being nice about it. If you're not going to come on, then okay, I'm not going to be nice and polite. You know, it's time to not be nice. If you're going to try to criminalize people's speech because your drunk ass made a fool of yourself, then you deserve to be dragged. And this legislation, think about the implications that go far beyond political advertising. Imagine that you want to share a meme on Facebook. An image where you're joking around. Oh boy, is Texas Ethics Commission going to come and knock on your door because you didn't have drunk Dade's preferred government acknowledgement, the little disclaimer on your meme? I've read the bill. So for all of the wise asses out there who want to go, well, did you read the bill? I read the bill, and I probably have better reading comprehension, and I'm smarter and better looking than the people who would criticize me for disagreeing with them, Dade's surrogates, on this bill. I've read it. It's garbage. It's anti-First Amendment garbage. And there are a number of Texas Republicans that voted for it. Maybe it's because they want some of drunk Dade's money. I don't know. You know, because that's what these lawmakers do, is they get a lot of campaign cash for themselves, and then they spread it around. I was looking at some of these. My rep voted against it, but we're going to publish the list on Substack of all the Republican lawmakers in Texas that decided to vote for this. If you vote, I'm pretty hardcore on First and Second Amendment. If you vote against me, against my interest one time on First and Second Amendment, you're dead to me. These are issues where I rarely allow. I'll forgive. But that doesn't mean I welcome you back into my war room. Doesn't mean that you're back in my confidence. They betray you once on such a crucial issue, they will screw you over again and again. That is a basic issue that should not even be up for debate. And if they can't even get that right, they're no good. They're trash. This is a major, major First Amendment concern. And of course, these are the same lawmakers that have been trying to vote away our Second Amendment rights as well. I mean, we have all kinds. I mean, they've got all kinds of House bills. They've been blocking pro-gun bills. They've been dragging their feet on banning red flag law. They've been dragging their feet, for instance, self-defense protections, House Bill 170. They've been dragging their feet on a number of, like Cole Hefner, his committee, Representative Cole Hefner, he's in the 5th District. They've been dragging these bills. I'm done with it. This is nonsense. And this meme bill is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. It would imprison people for a year if a meme doesn't have a disclaimer. And Dade Phelan is doing it for revenge. Now, people are trying to argue, well, this is really pertaining to advertising. Really? Then why doesn't it exclude any non-political advertising material in the verbatim language of the bill? Feel free to try to gaslight that one away. It's done for a purpose. And I've seen it. They're not just, it's not just broadcast political advertising. They're talking about the intent to influence an election. And the language specifically says if they are distributing broadcast political advertising, it's not saying that it's limited to broadcast political advertising. I feel like there are some of our brethren that struggle with reading comprehension. And that's probably because their lips are too close to Dade Phelan's backside, so they really can't see the full bill. Don't you agree, Kane? I think that's the truth. What they're talking about with this is, I'm reading the bill right now, intent to influence an election, knowingly caused to be published, distributed, or broadcast. So it's published, distribution, or broadcast. Talking about images, audio recordings, video recordings, and it mentions an office holder or candidate's appearance, speech, or conduct that did not occur in reality. You have to have a disclosure on all of it, not just political advertising. And if people dispute that, this is what the law, this is what the proposal states. Your beef isn't with me. It's with the drunk lawmakers that lack the writing ability to clearly articulate the difference in writing in legislation in Austin. You don't want a war with me over your stupidity and your reading lack of reading comprehension. So take it to the lawmakers that wrote the bill. This is stupid. This is one of the dumb, this is their priority. They're fighting, they're not giving us relief on our property taxes, but they're going to do this? Seriously. You rat bastards. This is what they're focusing on. All because some lawmaker was butthurt that people made fun of him because he was slurring his speech when he was at the microphone at the dais and he was pushing a very unpopular bill at the same time. This is just, it's insulting, it's unconstitutional, and it's un-American. Now they're trying to say, oh no, we're protecting people from AI. And I'm reading it. To influence an election knowingly caused to be published, distributed, or broadcast political advertising that includes an image, audio recording, video recording of an office holder or candidate's appearance, speech, or conduct that did not occur in reality, including image, audio recording, video recording that has been altered using generative artificial intelligence technology, unless the political advertising includes a disclosure from the person or another person on whose behalf the political advertising is published, distributed, broadcast, indicating that they blah, blah, blah. Now people are, but it's political advertising. You can share political advertising on your own personal pages, and there are no exemptions, and there is no absolutely no opt-out. There's no exemptions. If you're sharing the image, you fall under the scope of this proposal. It's not limited. And if you take issue with that, then you probably struggle with the same lack of alcohol-induced reading, absence of reading comprehension that the former speaker does. I mean, I can, you know, show these folks to the door, but you can't make them walk through it, right? I mean, this is insane. And I don't know. They're trying to regulate political expression in Texas, but they have no limitations on donations and spending. Interesting. It's insane that people voted for this at all. And it's all because the former speaker was embarrassed that he got made fun of. That's what this is all about. So I'm going to publish this up on, I'll have it up on Substack. And then all of the yeses that are on this, all of these Republicans, there's all the good guys voted no. All the good guys voted no. Louderback voted no. You had, Schatzline voted no. You know, all of my, Briscoe Kane voted no. I mean, all the good guys voted no in Texas legislature. But all the bad ones, and there's a lot of them, they all voted yes, including Giovanni Capriglione, who represents me. He's a rhino. He's rude. He was really rude to me one time. Giovanni Capriglione was incredibly rude to me and my husband one day, and I'm not over it. I'm like, you're a lawmaker. You need to have a little bit better social graces than what you're demonstrating. And I even one time when he was pushing the Texas gold reserves, they were demanding to come on the show. Oh my gosh, can you remember this, Capriglanda? They were sending us all kinds of requests. I save every email. So if they want to dispute this, I will bury you in receipts. So don't. But they wanted to come on the show. Oh, let us on the show. Let us on the show. We'd love to talk about this. Oh, can you promote what Giovanni's doing? Can you promote what he's doing? Can you promote? Oh, I had him on one time. Then he was just real rude afterwards. Really rude. He's a rude guy. Of course, he voted yes on this. So I'm going to publish this up at Substack, chapter and verse. But this was a middle finger to voters. They don't care about your property relief, your property tax relief. They don't care. They don't care about any of that. You'll have a Texas majority in the legislature, but they're going to put Democrats on committees and they're going to try to hamstring you on First Amendment nonsense. It's asinine. But you know what? You know the saying that we were joking about a couple of years ago, try that in a small town. You try enforcing this with people like me. And you see where it gets you. We got a lot more on the way because this isn't done yet. I have more rhino stuff, too. Again, we can do this every single day. That's how bad it is. That's how prevalent it is in some of these red states. I got more stuff on Florida. At least Florida, their speaker in Florida finally surrendered to DeSantis on property tax relief. Finally, after he was dragged through, after he was humbled and humiliated by people more constitutionalist than him. All family pharmacies. This is one of my favorite people to work with. And not just because I'm actually a customer. It's like that hair club for men thing. Not only am I'm also the president. Well, I'm not the president. But I love what they do because medicines that you need, and especially those therapeutics that the government tried to prevent you from getting during lockdown, well, they have all of it. They've got the ivermectin. They got the hydroxychloroquine. They have all of the antibiotics. They also have your everyday medications. And they're affordable, it's simple, and it's fast. If you don't have insurance, not an issue because they have very straightforward, affordable pricing. Online ordering, shipping is just 2 to 4 days. You can also do overnight in a pinch, which I have done before because, oh my gosh, I was getting strep throat for Thanksgiving. I thought I was going to die. And I'm like, I couldn't get to urgent care. There was a line. Like, I got to get some. They got it to me overnight. And I was immediately able to start getting better and still host Thanksgiving. It was amazing. And not infect everybody. It was so nice. The other thing that I love is everything is made in the U.S., you can't say that with other medications or the inputs from other medications, but you can say that with All Family Pharmacy. None of the stuff comes from either China nor India. It's all manufactured all from right here in the US of A. So they have very high standards of quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Get 10% off with promo code Dana. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today with allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I had, I think I had this story last week, but there's an update to it. The guy who jumped into the water to save a bald eagle. So it was an alligator infested lake that he jumped in. Now, we didn't have that. I wanted to add that to the story. The Florida man who swam into a lake to rescue a struggling bald eagle because it got into a fight with another eagle and it had a hole in its talon or a hole in its wing. And they it was like punctured. It was horrible. And the guy dove into the water to save it and they rehabilitated it. So, yeah, it's an alligator infested
lake. That just now became the most American story that we've had all day today.
Yeah, it is. That's the most amazing thing. Doug Hay should get a medal. That man should get a medal because his wife apparently was terrified. She's the one who took the footage of it because there was like a 7-foot gator that they just saw apparently that morning.
She's sane. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I had to share that update with you. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Americans of every background should be elated that Elon Musk's Doge is finding millions of dollars of wasted taxpayer funds.
The Doge team has found hundreds of billions of dollars in fraudulent spending. I mean, Social Security payments made to people who have been dead for a long time. Unemployment benefits being paid to people who aren't born yet. To me, those things would be, I would imagine, celebrated pretty much universally.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
A very good defense, hopefully a great defense secretary, but he'll be a very good defense secretary.
You have 100% confidence in
Pete Hegseth. I don't have 100% confidence in anything, okay? Anything. Do I have 100%? It's a stupid question. Look.
It's a pretty important position.
No. You don't have 100%. Only a liar would say I have 100% confidence. I don't have 100% confidence that we're going to finish this interview.
Man, I love it. That's good. It's very good. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Oh, my gosh. So we got a lot.
Is it just me? He's more stoic now with the media. And
no,
it's
he's
just
not.
It's coming off better. No.
I think he's still the same, but he's more in there.
Remember, wasn't it the Axios interview that he did that seemed to take him off the rails towards the end of his first term? And it was because he got all rattled and he was all, you know, responding to these gotcha type questions from Axios. And I think he's learned a lot from that. I think now that when he's handling the media, he's way more stoic than he used to be. And it comes off, I think, better for everyone watching. For me, at least it does.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that he's, I like the way that he handled this guy. Who looked at him like with a sense of wonderment and like he didn't know quite what was happening. The Terry Moran. Terry! I'm never going to get over it. What are you doing, Terry? Oh my gosh! Welcome back. Dana Lash with you at the top of this the third hour, actually. I got a couple of things, including one piece that I had over at Substack as well. I wanted to touch on, I'm sure you guys, did I send this out? Yeah, yesterday. The DNC vice twerp. That hog kid, he might lose his seat as the vice twerp of the DNC. So apparently, per reports, the Credentials Committee is meeting virtually in May to consider the challenge from Kaylin Free. She is a Native American attorney and party activist who lost a vice chair spot to Hogg at the party's February 1st meeting. In her complaint, she argued that she lost a, quote, fatally flawed election that violated the DNC charter and discriminated against three women of color candidates and asks for two new vice chair elections. Oh, this is delicious. So they're going to identity politic each other to death. Now, I actually am not surprised at this because I think he is a horrible vice twerp of the DNC. When you're a committee, and it's the same for the Republican National Committee, when you are the vice chair, you have to operate within the construct of the committee, right? And the committee exists to get other party types elected, right? He has spent all of his time running down party leadership, giving the middle finger to party superiors, refusing counsel, and he has repeatedly demanded that the DNC involve itself in primary fights, which is a major no-no. Politico had this. He wanted to spend committee money to take down Democrats he didn't like. And, I mean, that's crazy. They wanted to spend $20 million to go after incumbent Democrats in safe districts. And he goes, I want us to win the majority. That's what he would say. That's not how you absolute moron. You flip seat. You're not going to going after safe incumbents. That's not how you expand your seats. You go to purple districts and you flip them that way. But that's not what he wanted. I think he is one of the dumbest people alive. I really do. It's embarrassing. And so clearly, you know, you had the other powers that be in the DNC go, yeah, that's not what we do. We get Democrats elected. We don't persecute Democrats. That's a big no-no. Everybody knows that. The committees exist to promote party leaders for elections. They don't persecute party members during petty primary fights. They sure as hell don't imperil safe Democrat seats like he was demanding. Of course, you know, he once accused yours truly of literally, quote, owning Congress and, quote, supporting child murderers. So he's not the brightest crayon in the box. He really wanted to use this. He just wanted to use the DNC as a vehicle for self-promotion, just like he did with the AstroTurf group March for Our Lives. I think he needs to go back to selling pillows. You know, to this point, I wanted to make another point on this. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's in Congress, and the topic came up of Kristi Noem. And, you know, I'm ambivalent. I don't dislike her, but I'm not a fan. Does that make sense? I'm just like middle of the road. You know, I don't care if you dress up as long as you're doing your job. If you do your job and you're deporting baddies, then I don't care if you go to Spirit Halloween every damn day and get a new outfit for everything. I don't care. I don't care if you shave Aslan and then put his headdress on as your latest extensions. I don't care what you do. I literally don't care. I don't care how many Gucci bags you have. I don't care. As long as you're doing your job, you are free to just do whatever you want, in my opinion. That's me. Just serve the taxpayer, and I'm cool. One thing I don't like, though, are all these ads. And I was very critical of these ads. Have you seen them on Fox? They're everywhere. That costs. And Fox isn't cheap. It's like six figures a month to run these, to have an ad campaign on Fox. And I can't remember the bare minimum that you have to sign up for. I think there's like a minimum. Those are our tax dollars. And it's just her face talking the whole time with footage behind her. She's running dangerously close to having it look like a promotional vehicle for her instead of informing the taxpayer about what DHS is doing. And I would advise them to reconsider all of that. The video that Trump played at the Michigan rally last night was really making me think about this. I don't know if you guys, we don't need to play it because there's music behind it and I'm sure it's licensed. But he had a video when he was talking about deportation. And it was showing all the Trinidad Aragua guys that were taken back to CENTCO, right? That's the name of the jail. That were taken back to the big jail taken to the El Salvadoran jail. Trinidad Aragua, MS-13, all these dudes, this going back to this big bad jail in El Salvador. And they, you know, they had the music and it was great aggressive music. And they get these guys off the plane, they're in cuffs and they bend their heads down. They don't even get the dignity of walking with their heads up. They bend them over and they just pert march them right into the vehicles. And man, they get them out of there and take them to CENTCO. It's really amazing to watch. And he had all this, like them busting these rings and pulling people over and arresting, you know, all illegal aliens that are vicious criminals. And he played that. And I'm like, that's what you need to show. I don't need to see Kristi Noem's face magnified times 50, barely being able to see the footage behind her. Because again, it seems like a promotional vehicle for herself. Just show the stuff. I mean, if you're going to cut ads, then do that. But I don't even think that you need to spend that kind of six-figure taxpayer money on an ad campaign like that, because they ain't running PSAs, y'all. That's not how that is working with them. And I don't think you need to spend taxpayer money to do that when you have the proliferation of, or when you have the ability to viralize it, for the lack of a better way to put it, throughout social media. Do you know what I mean? All Trump has to do is tweet it and he can just bypass all of these old, you don't even need that. Why are we not saving taxpayer dollars? That doesn't make any sense. So I just, you know, they need, I'd caution them on that ground. A couple of other things. Culture. We have another fight with the J.K. Rowling trans stuff. So they're doing a Harry Potter reboot because Hollywood's out of ideas. And they have a new Harry Potter series that they are doing. And we've talked a little bit about it before. And they were casting, it's the HBO series. And they have a new batch of actors playing all of the original roles. And they like John Lithgow is Albus Dumbledore, and they have Mark Rylance, who's apparently going to be, and he's really good. He's in Wolf Hall. He's really good. He's apparently going to be cast in it. And I think you got a couple of British actresses. I think Rachel Weisz is taking over as well. She's going to be, I think she's going in, I think she's taking a role in it too. And they, Nick Frost is Hagrid. That's a good cast. And everybody was critical of the guy, Papa Isidu, that they cast as Severus Snape. And it's not about race. It's because Severus Snape is, If you're not familiar with the story, Severus Snape, he was a baddie in the beginning, and he was running around with Voldemort and the Death Eaters. And the Death Eaters are basically the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazis, and all. It's a archetype of every bad guy ever, right? And they all look a certain way for a reason. So it's, you know, an archetype of every bad guy, and it all comes down to the worst identity politics, right? Identity politics is putting race and all of that above everything else. The Death Eaters were considered pure, and everyone else who wasn't pure were called mudbloods. And it was very important that Severus Snape looked the way he was because that was part of his identity. It's like having Dave Chappelle play a Klan member, right? Like in his Chappelle show. I mean, that's a joke. So they have an African actor who is playing Severus Snape, and it completely takes that whole huge part of Severus Snape's moral compromise out. And it ruins the character because he is pale and he's this. That's like very emphasized in the story, not as a positive. He uses it as a cudgel against everyone else who is less than. So you are rewriting her story by blackwashing that character. It's like having Mulan played by Paris Hilton. No offense, but you see what I'm saying? You're retconning something about a character that makes them who they are. And that is actually offensive to the original story, and it dumbs down why he's so scary, why he's so shifty, why he's so untrustworthy, why he's so dangerous. And that was one of the, she's reacted to that. And he's just decided, I guess he's going to go into this full jack wagon because he has signed this letter on trans rights. It was an open letter supporting trans rights against J.K. Rowling. And he's already really feeling his oats, right? Like he's, you know, he signs this letter and he like, they went directly against. I'm not saying you don't have your own viewpoints, but to immediately spit in the face of the person who created your living is an entitlement that only certain people, it's an indulgence, an entitlement that's an indulgence for only certain people. And I think some people, when they do stuff like this, they wrap themselves in identity politics as a way to deflect accountability for their stupid decisions and rudeness and ridiculousness. I'm not going to watch this series. It already sounds like trash. And it's sad because some of the cast is good. But that's one of the cast members that his story and his appearance play very much. It's like redoing the story of Hitler and having like a, and kind of an, and having every, somebody that personified everything that he was against play him. You undercut the dangerousness of the bad guy and you dull down the redemptive arc that he has later. I just think it's stupid that they're doing this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. It is so easy to steal somebody's title. It's crazy easy, especially now with AI and in this cyber world. I mean, it is a top crime, and we have scammers out there stealing people's home titles because your equity is the target. They can forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee with your county, and then the next thing you know, your title has been transferred out of your name, and one forged signature is all it takes. You're not even going to know that it happened. And then the real damage starts because they use your equity to take out all these loans. They can even sell your property outright. And then you have to deal with the aftermath. Most people don't find out until they start getting, you know, foreclosure notices or, you know, all collection notices, all of this. I mean, it's unreal. And with the AI and cyber-driven world, it's happening more and more, and it's actually made it easier. Your home is your biggest asset. Why in the world would you not lock it down? Use promo code Dana at HomeTitleLock.com and make sure your title is still in your name. That's the first thing you need to do. Then get your free title history report plus a free 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud should happen, heaven forbid, hopefully it doesn't, but if it does, they're going to spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HomeTitleLock.com now and use promo code Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
How does this happen? A student that was rescued from Mount Fuji climbed, left his phone, totally forgot his phone, and had to climb back up to get it. A 27-year-old Chinese student who lives in Japan was rescued twice in 1 week. But they didn't say whether or not he found his phone. In Japan, it produced a wave of criticism. They're mad, not that he had to be rescued, but that he had to be rescued literally twice in 1 week. The first time, they got a call of help from him, and then he got altitude sickness. And then the second time, 4 days later, he went back up there because he left his phone. And he was trying to find some of his other belongings. And they had to go get him again. This guy sounds like a moron who should not hike anymore, I feel like. Champagne protects the heart from cardiac arrest. I mean, that's this very, I'm going to believe it. It's from Shanghai, but still, I'm going to believe this study because it just confirms what I want to believe. Champagne and white wine. It's science, fermented liquids. So I really feel like we need to have more of these to protect our hearts. You know. Oh, man. A child damages. This painting looks stupid, though. A $56 million painting at Netherlands Museum.
That was $56 million?
It's basically...
Somebody paid $56 million.
Juan's going to show you. It's three blocks of color, and it's $56 million.
It looks stained.
I could make it and just charge you $56,000. That's a steal. I will make the same thing, and it's only $56,000.
Somebody took a panel off of a poorly painted wall.
I hate modern art. I hate modernity. Modernity is laziness. And it's ignoring and refusing to acknowledge the beauty in the everyday, which is brutalist. I hate it. Rothko's abstract paintings, which are stupid, are known for their floating color fields, which are dumb. And it was produced from 1949 to 99. I think modern art is what people who actually aren't good at art do. Oh, you can light me up all you want to. I'm not going to change my opinion on it at all. Go back and look what they did during the Renaissance and then go back and look at some modern art. It's stupid. You can't even stop. Stop it. Can't even compare it. Oh, young workers are already ready to quit. Oh, burnout and pay concerns are driving the exodus. Oh, 73% of Gen Z and 70% of millennials, they don't like their jobs. They want more pay and flexible work. It's called grow up. That's what it's called. Stick with us. More to come. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PR57. This is such a winner. MSRP is $399. It's one you got to get. You absolutely need this one. It's from Kel-Tec. They're so innovative, and everything that they make is such great quality. George Kellgren is a mad genius. He's actually a very interesting individual. Very quiet, very soft-spoken, very loud with his designs. Very innovative. This, they created... they created the concealed carry category, the pistol their P11 in 95, and they keep innovating more and more. The PR57, it was a huge hit at SHOT Show. I got to see it for myself. I finally have mine. 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. Shoot, it's just so great. It's great to shoot. It's actually 5.7 I realistically could carry. Because the other ones, I'm a little older person. I'm a woman, it's a little bit harder for us ladies. But this, ladies, this is one you absolutely can. And dudes, if you're wanting a 5.7 with more ultra concealability, this is one for you as well. We got Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up. These are great gifts. And of course, the innovation, all made in America. These are family owned values at their best. Now, why it's lighter? Because the rotary barrel pistol, chambered in 5.7, also the top loading with replacing traditional mags with stripper clips, slimmer carry profile, 20+1 capacity. It's just genius. You got to get it. Made in the USA. Everything. American workforce, American labor, American parts, American materials from start to finish, every step of the way, made right here in the US of A. America needs more companies like Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. Innovation Performance Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, give us your 2 cents on this story. It's all systems go for a controversial new program in Michigan aimed at bringing down the Canada goose population. As the state prepares to round up and gas the geese to death, animal rights groups are calling foul over this and demanding answers.
Gassing geese.
What the heck?
So They think the best way to get their geese population under control isn't to have hunters handle it. You know, maybe give some, I don't know, like hunters out and get some licenses going, you know, increase the license. I don't know. No, they're going to gas them. That's, so does the gas only work for just the geese? Is it just geese gas? Because there's, now bear with me. In nature, there are other animals out there with the geese in nature.
That's true.
So is this a particular type of geese gas that only gases geese?
No, I think they were going to round them up and then gas them in a, like a chamber.
They,
of some sort.
I mean, they could hunt them. Because oh, yeah, no. Geese are tasty.
Also, they're migratory. Do Canada geese just hang around? Is that what they're having problems
They're leaving because they want to. They probably want to get out of there because Mark Carney.
But they can't just wait till they fly away, like south?
I don't know, man.
They're just passing through. They're Canadian geese.
Michigan's too close. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Geese. Are they not good eating?
They said that there's a handful of lake. Now, it's like what? Lake homeowners, lakefront homeowners that are upset with the the population, and they want them exterminated for convenience.
What? No, that's the reason?
Yeah.
So people bought property lakefront and are upset at animals using that lake.
So it is, they're just going to take the dead geese to a landfill. That's Fox 2 Detroit that reported that.
So this was the idea they landed on and said, mm-hmm. This is the one.
They said that, no, it's an approved euthanasia method. They said they're making a mess on the sidewalks and they get in the way of golf swings.
What? No.
I am literally being so honest right now. I am reading the story verbatim. It's the hot new state, Michigan, where we gas geese that get involved in your golf swing. I personally am not a fan of the geese, except for eating, because they're jerks.
Yeah, geese can be jerks.
So, kind of an accompanying story to this. For whatever reason, geese hate me. You know, I have a problem with certain animals, right? Goats. Chimpanzees.
Yeah,
I kicked a skunk once because it, I swear to you, it hissed at me. I was, in my defense, I was three.
Do not do that.
And I thought it was a cat that was going to attack me. I do kind of sort of hazily remember it. I was, again, like three or four. Anyway, but one time, a sweet listener sent me a pair of pink sparkly shoelaces because they heard my heart-wrenching story about how one day at the St. Louis Zoo, a goat ate the pink shoelaces off of my tennis shoes and I was heartbroken. Like literally ate them out, slurped them up like a noodle. It's crazy. I know, we had to get tape and just like tape my shoe on my foot. It was so weird. I felt like a hobo. I was walking around the zoo for the rest of the day like a hobo with a hobo foot. I don't even, it was crazy. And then I did tell you the story of when I got into, most of you heard this, the slap fight with the chimp, right? My neighbor that, yes, they were affiliated with that Festus family that did that documentary. And it was a juvenile chimp in a diaper and it tried to like throw stuff at me from its diaper. And it pinched me and I slapped it without knowing, you know, I was young that it could pull my face off. Anyway, you know, we've got an issue with Samino's. Geese, for whatever reason, hate me. If I am at like a lake or, you know, pond or whatever, and there's geese nearby, I just got to leave because I don't even do anything. I'm just there existing. And the geese are like, meh, and they don't like it. And meh, 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 and they just come at me. They run at me. Every time, without fail, they will run at me and ignore the smaller children that are nearby. I don't know what it is. Dogs love me. Geese hate me because they're the cats of the air. Anyway, I don't know, man. It's just what they do. And but I don't want to gas them.
Thank you.
I do not want to gas them because that is jerk, a jerk move. And also, I would rather eat them.
Are they good eaten? I'm not sure.
I've had goose before.
Canadian goose?
I mean, a goose is a goose, isn't it?
Is it, though? I think there's different geese out there.
I was going to make a joke.
Because when I think goose, it's like the big old fluffy white one. They're not as big as swans, but they're geese.
Does it got meat?
The Canadian,
you can eat it.
Canadian geese are not that. So I don't know if they're good eating or not.
I'll eat it. I've eaten squirrel, though, so... The one thing I haven't eaten won't is raccoon because it looks greasy as all get out. My grandpa used to go raccoon hunting all the time. Yeah, I don't eat any like little greasy marsupial bandit looking things. I don't like those. I'll eat most things, but I'm very selective still at the same time. If it's greasy and it's like an animal that would probably rob me, I'm not going to eat it. They said that they've been talking to these waterfowl experts. They said they've relocated geese before, but they said it's not sustainable to do that. So they're going to gas them.
They're migratory birds. What are you relocating? They're migratory.
Yeah.
Right?
By the way, this is what an expert, I'm reading this. This is from Fox 2, Detroit. A waterfowl expert with the Michigan Duck and Rescue Sanctuary. This is pretty hardcore. I mean, it's thundering out there because the God doesn't like this story.
Yeah.
So this is what they said. They go, yeah, it's kind of a disgusting way of doing it. When they gas them, they're going to tell people that they're just going to fall asleep. Nothing is going to fall asleep. It's going to fight for 20, 30, 40 minutes until it dies. What? That's the direct quote.
Oh, come on.
I'm sending you this. I'm dropping the story inside. This is the actual direct quote. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, go down there and check that. So, yeah, they're not going to fall asleep. They're going to and die horribly, like after, you know, a while. That's what's going to happen.
Because they're being geese?
Yeah. They're just there. That's so sad. Like, I would rather it be humanely harvested from nature via a hunter for me to eat or someone to eat. Are there no hungry people in Michigan? I mean...
It's like a wolf came up with this idea.
Yeah, the wolves are fine with them being gassed. Right. And they said that, you know, it has to be a problematic site. So now the state of Michigan's like, oh, hold up. Cause people are like, you're going to do what? So they're saying, now, wait a minute. It's a last resort, everybody. And they're going to be problematic sites. So see, it doesn't totally sound like they're just going to round them up and take them somewhere.
It does.
It sounds like they're going to get a Call of Duty God gun and just blast some geese gas out in the atmosphere and just, you know, hope it doesn't hit anything else. You know,
what were the other resorts? If this is the last resort, what were the other resorts?
What are the other resorts? Well, shoe didn't work. What?
We tried poison for a couple months. That didn't do anything.
I mean, good heavens. So I've got a lot of questions about this. Like, why can't they, again, just, you know.
Are they good eating? That's
really
the question.
I mean, it's a little gamey, but, you know.
That's the question. If they're good eating, then we need to think about something like that.
But they said they're nuisance geese, and everybody's been pushing back on it, and I think it just sounds dumb.
So is that the new threshold for gassing things? They're nuisances?
I mean, if we're going to roll with that, can we extend it to peoples? Because,
no one's evolving to that. What I'm saying,
like, for people that have bad taste or wear, you know, high-waisted jeans, or think that, you know, yes, platform shoes don't make your feet look like Clydesdales women.
Look what gassing geese has already got you.
It's already,
about.
You know.
No, this is bad. Wrong.
Some people see them as a lakeside pest. But yeah, it's basically the people who live by the lake. The fancy people who live by the lake that don't like the geese interfering with their golf swing.
Killing all the fish? Like, what do they have against nature that nature existing in nature is enough to gas them?
I don't know, but I just feel like there's other things that they could do, maybe. I feel like they have not gotten to the last resort. They ought to feel lucky that the geese want to live there. I'm just, you know, like, instead of being like, oh, these are nuisance animals, be like, how nice is it that they want to be here with us? That's so sweet. But they're not. They're being jerks about it. So, yeah, gas and geese. This is about as smart as Adam Schiff, Audio Somebody 30. He's filing legislation to ban, quote, a fictional firearm. Listen.
Today I will be introducing the Assault Weapons Ban of 2025, a bill that would ban the sale, manufacture, import, and transfer of military-style assault weapons. Since 2006, there have been 486 mass shootings involving assault weapons. Hundreds and hundreds of Americans have been killed in these mass shootings. This bill is a way to attack that massive threat to our safety and security.
For what? Like, what, quote unquote, assault weapons? What are they talking about? Or they're used in the, again, here we go. They're used in the fewest amount of crimes. It's always illegally obtained handguns from the black market. And if you don't believe me, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go back and look at multiple different surveys that were actually all done under the Obama administration with the very anti-gun Eric Holder as attorney general. And they surveyed thousands of felons, incarcerated felons. And what they discovered is that that's how these people are obtaining their firearms, is through the black market. They're not walking into FFLs and going, yes, I would like to purchase a gun. My name is Banger, Mr. Gangbanger. That's not how this works. He's doing this because they have nothing else. Democrats always go back to this well when they have nothing else. Yes, Democrats, what are you going to do about inflation? Well, I don't know. Best I can do is an assault weapons ban. Like, what? That's all they have. They never have anything else. It's always that. Gosh, how are you going to stop the deluge at the border? I don't know. Best I can do. It's like Pawn Stars. Assault weapons ban. That's all they got. Every time. That's all they have. So I don't know. It just amazes me. And I got one other headline real quick. I just saw this at the New York Post. So Mel Gibson and an NFL Hall of Famer had their firearm rights restored along with nine others after petitioning for pardons. Gibson was prevented after a domestic violence conviction. He appealed to Trump. Did I ever tell you my Mel Gibson story? We were at this fundraiser, and a very good friend of mine had organized it, and it was for veterans, and we were at the table, and all of a sudden, I was sitting next to Bob Goya, and the next thing I knew, Mel Gibson was sitting at my table, and it was a little surreal, and I kept thinking, maybe it's an impersonator. This is, you know, he was in town with Jim Caviezel, who was also at our table. And because they're creating this film production company in Texas. And I didn't want to bother. I don't like to bother people with photos and all that. And because there's enough people that do that with these folks. But I did go over to him and tell him that I, you know, appreciated his work. And I really loved Apocalypto and, you know, the other stuff that he's done. And I introduced myself and he goes, well, I know who you are. And I'm really awkward, really awkward when it's one-on-one. I mean, you may think I'm a smooth talker when I'm in front of a lot of people, but you get me in front of like one or two people and I'm like, Ricky Bobby, what do I do with my hands? And I just looked at him and I go, no, you don't. And he looked at me it stunned him. And he goes, what are you talking about? Yes, I do. And I go, I don't think so. And he goes, are you seriously going to argue with me about this? That was my conversation with Mel Gibson. It was a winner. Invite me to your parties. I'm a hoot. If you work long hours and struggle to wind down at night, you're not alone. Tossing and turning and waking up exhausted doesn't have to be the norm. Beam Dream Powder helps you fall asleep faster, sleep soundly through the night, and wake up feeling refreshed. Beam Dream Powder is a clean, healthy nighttime blend made with ingredients backed by science. Reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. Apigenin helps calm your body and your mind for rest. L-theanine supports a smooth transition into deep sleep, and reishi and melatonin work to improve REM sleep quality. Beam is proudly American-made and run by people who value hard work, integrity, and results. Supporting companies like this matters because they're doing things the right way. You'll love how Dream tastes, and it's easy to make and actually effective. Over 17.5 million nights of sleep have been improved with Beam, and yours could be next. Try it for yourself. Visit shopbeam.com/danashow and use code danashow for 40% off of your first order. That's shopbeam.com/danashow, code danashow for better sleep.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Will you condemn Hamas here and now?
I'm sorry, what?
Will you condemn Hamas? would I condemn Hamas?
As a terrorist organization, genocidal organization.
Are you asking me to put myself on a cross?
So you won't. I actually have had this experience many times. You didn't read the pamphlet because the pamphlet is chapter and verse. Main connection is that the MSA is part of the Muslim Brotherhood Network.
I meant if I say something, I'm sure that I will be arrested for reasons of Homeland Security.
If you condemn Hamas, Homeland Security will arrest you.
If I support Hamas, because your question forces me to condemn Hamas. If I support Hamas,
well,
I look really bad.
If you don't condemn Hamas, obviously you support it. I'm a Jew. The head of Hezbollah has said that he hopes that we will gather in Israel so he doesn't have to hunt us down globally. For it or against it?
For it.
That is one. This was over 10 years before all of the stuff that you saw on college campuses around the country. That's David Horowitz at UC San Diego with a Muslim student after he was giving a speech. He had a lengthy battle with cancer, which he fought valiantly but lost. He's passed away at the age of 86. It was announced late yesterday. He's been on the show. He was a stalwart in advocating for conservatism. He was a communist, and then he had his awakening, and hopefully it inspired, as he hoped, other Jewish students on college campuses that leaned towards Marxism to leave that ideology behind and embrace freedom and open thinking. David Horowitz, age 86. With the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and is an icon in the conservative movement. And that does it for us today. We're going to bypass today in stupidity for a day of smartness. Make sure you find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, X. Have a great night. I will be back with you tomorrow.